Hello, hello. Welcome to Minds on Mushrooms, where we unveil the magic behind psychedelics for mental health and addiction. I'm your host, Maggie Kirkwood. Thank you for joining. A little bit about this podcast. Not too long ago, my own mental health was suffering, and I had developed a drinking problem, and I didn't know where to go or who to talk to. A friend came along and suggested psilocybin or magic mushrooms could maybe help me. And they helped me so much and to the point where I can't stop talking about it. And now I do have this podcast. The intentions are to just keep the conversation going so we can normalize and destigmatize psychedelics for mental health and addiction. I want to create a community and a safe space for people who are curious and anyone who's struggling with their own mental health and addiction issues to come and be inspired by healing journeys through plant medicine. This space is intended to be a platform for professionals and experts to share their research and just a place where we can come together to keep on top of the mental health game. Thank you so much for coming along and joining the journey. I hope you enjoy the show. Here we are, a podcast dedicated to just normalizing and destigmatizing or attempting to psychedelics for mental health and addiction. Today, I also have my friend, co-host, along for the ride. His name is Cameron Taylor with Big Psych.
Hey, hey.
Cameron, and did I forget to introduce myself? I'm Maggie Kirkwood. But Cameron, let's hear about you. I want to hear what brought you here today.
Yeah, well, you know, you've also interviewed me on your show.
That's right.
For starters. And also my team of folks over at Big Psych. I have actually been within the psychedelic space for about the last 2 years, very heavily, with my association with Big Psych as a board member, also the kinship curator, community activist. We also are a education and cultivation and community building organization to kind of bring folks in a central space together that are in the psychedelic realm.
Awesome. I'm so happy to kind of have you here to help me along through this journey
because totally.
It's been a fun one and learning so much. So thank you for being here.
You're very welcome.
So also today we have here Dr. Mm-hmm. Jackie Henry, and you have your own therapy practice. I'm just going to have you introduce yourself,
sure.
Please.
Yeah, well, thanks, Maggie. It's nice to be here. Nice to be with you too, Cameron. I'm Dr. Jackie Henry, and I'm a licensed psychologist. I practice in St. Paul. I have a private practice where I see individuals with anxiety, depression, trauma-based disorders. And I also offer psychedelic-assisted therapy. I'm trained in that as well through an affiliation with IIT in Eden Prairie, which is the Institute for Integrative Therapies. And also I'm a wellness consultant working with businesses and organizations in the Twin Cities to help promote wellness services for their leadership and employees.
Great. And when was it that you became aware with ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, and how long have you been offering it as part of your practice?
I completed my training to be a ketamine-assisted therapist last February. And prior to that, I had just learned more about psychedelic-assisted therapies in general through kind of keeping up with my professional learning and just feeling kind of the movement nationally and globally around psychedelics and the growing science base to support their use in mental health. So just from a professional standpoint, it was just a curiosity and a kind of a hope that it would help treat patients that I've seen for years who have struggled to make really significant progress with depression or trauma-based disorders. And then personally, I felt my interest peaked due to kind of self-expansion work and a deeper understanding of myself and kind of the meaning and purpose in life.
Great. And I'm really excited. We've also filmed another episode and we had a ketamine patient who was telling her story and essentially how it saved her life. So I'm really happy to have you here and discuss more the professional end and the science end. So, and Cameron, feel free to chime in, but let's just talk about how does it actually work?
Ketamine. So I won't bore you with a really long neurobiology explanation, but the short answer is that ketamine is an analgesic and an anesthetic. It was originally developed for that in the 60s. And it affects our neurobiology by blocking the glutamate receptors in the brain. And glutamate is a really prominent neurotransmitter in our brain. And they think that the too much, for lack of a better term, too much glutamate in our neurobiology can cause long-term depression, can cause kind of depressive symptoms. And so as ketamine acts as a glutamate blocker, it kind of allows other pathways to emerge and provide more support to the systems in our brain that help manage stress. So a good visual for that would be, you know, think about the sledding hill in your neighborhood. Winter's coming, and I have to think about that too. But if you sled for an afternoon, eventually you are going to have 2 to 3 paths that all sleds find their way down. Right? No matter where you start at the top of the hill. It's kind of like in our brain, we develop kind of well-worn paths. And the more we use them, the more paved, the more kind of ingrained that they become. And these can be for negative self-thoughts. They can be for trauma memories, things like that. And what ketamine does is almost like a new snowfall. So imagine at the sledding hill, there's a 6-inch blizzard. And now we can't see those former paths, and there's other opportunities available to us. So starting at the top of the hill, we can kind of develop a new path forward.
Awesome. And let's talk about the process as it involves you. Cameron and I talk a lot about when the use of psychedelics, it's always important, the integration piece. So I'd like to talk, you know, in an ideal world, somebody who's coming in for this treatment would be set up properly. So can you kind of explain the therapy side to the puzzle?
So certainly people can have transformative experiences with psychedelic in their own personal use or with friends or family. I think, though, what really the space that I'm trying to be in is kind of the scientific base for that. And really, we see the best outcomes for patients with treatment-resistant depression in patients who have undergone ketamine-assisted therapy. And so all psychedelic-assisted therapies have kind of these central components. And one is, the first is often kind of a medical and psychological assessment. And this is really to determine who's a good fit, why you might not be a good fit, and then kind of clear you to move forward with treatment. Then you would start sort of the preparation sessions. And those are part of the therapy process where alongside your therapist, you would work on the goals that you have, what you're trying to work on, desired outcomes, kind of motivation for doing those things. And then you get to the medicine session, and that's where ketamine would be administered in this case. And then the therapist really is acting more like a guide in that situation, just kind of holding space for the client's journey. And then afterwards, you'd have a couple integration sessions. And this is really where the it's a good differentiator between certain clinics where you can just get ketamine injections and kind of go on your way, and you show up and you get the medicine for a couple minutes and then you leave. This integration sessions is really taking your transformative experience on ketamine and turning it into meaning and purpose and actual action steps that you can take to create long-lasting behavior change in your life.
So would you be able to explain for the viewers that don't know how this works in regards to how the ketamine is actually administered at your clinic?
Sure. So there's three different ways that ketamine can be administered. One, you may have heard of ketamine clinics, and those are typically infusions that you would go there to the clinic, get an IV drip, 15 minutes or so, and then that's not typically done with the assistance of a therapist. That can have some benefits, but really we're talking more about the scientific base for psychedelic assisted therapy would be done in clinic with a therapist and a medical provider on site. And there's two different ways that you can have the ketamine done at that clinic. And one is a sublingual lozenge. So it looks like a little cough drop. You kind of put it under your tongue, let it absorb into your mouth. That is typically a lower dose and can still have some sort of a psychedelic effects to that, but not kind of the total dissociation that is quite typical of ketamine. So still some benefits. And then the second option is for an intramuscular injection. That's typically a higher dose and does create sort of that dissociative effect where there's a separation of ego and kind of the visual and perceptual changes that we might think of when we think of psychedelics. And which path you might choose is certainly based on a patient's preference, but also in conjunction with conversations with the medical provider who actually administers the ketamine. Yeah.
I feel like your explanation kind of leads me into my next question, which is if you were able to explain the setting in the context of ketamine therapy and the importance for therapeutic outcomes.
Yeah. So set and setting, I'm sure that you guys have heard that a lot, both in kind of personal and professional use, right? It matters what our mindset is. It matters what our physical environment is and sort of to ensure kind of the most, I don't want to even say best because sometimes it's not the best, right? But the most absorbing experience that we can get the most benefit from that. So when we think about set, we're thinking about mindset. And that's really where the psychedelic assisted therapy prep sessions come in, where you have spent time with your therapist thinking through the goals that you have, the motivations that bring you to this treatment, things that you hope to address on your journey. And so you're entering your medicine session with all of these things very clear in your mind. The setting kind of refers to that physical space, the environment. Often we bring in things around nature. There's a lot of calming hues and colors.
So let me ask you, is it like a spa-like experience?
It is.
Okay. Yeah.
So our office at IAT has a lot of blues and greens and natural textures. It's quiet. It's cozy. We really take care to have kind of soft textures and blankets, the temperature a certain way.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of, on Spotify, actually, you can look up ketamine playlists.
Oh, cool.
And those are some of the curated music that we play during a session, during a medicine session.
It sounds like a psychedelic country club.
But when I think about
those places, the main question that comes to mind for me is accessibility.
Yeah.
You know, and so where are the therapies at in regards to offering accessibility for people who have different insurances, who may not, you know, come from an affluent background, but want to actually step into looking at these options as something that they incorporate within their everyday life. But, you know, money and access is always a big question and also a big barrier a lot of times for people seeking aid with a lot of their mental health issues or just issues, period. And I'm just curious if you could actually speak to that at all.
Yeah, so this is a big issue in mental health treatment in general, and then psychedelics assisted therapy specifically too. And I think it's a very fine line between, you know, seeking the more widespread acceptance of this treatment by providing, you know, people who have the means in order to seek this out as a means of self-expansion and not necessarily trauma treatment or depression treatment. And also kind of balancing that with having it be accessible to people who have tried a lot of different things and it hasn't worked. and who might, because or maybe because of their mental health struggles, don't have the financial means to kind of access this care. We also need to have people enrolled in trials, which takes a long time. It's not just a financial barrier, but kind of a rigorous scientific and time commitment mm-hmm. to participate in the science that actually will help us bring this to the masses too, right? So it's a complicated issue. There's also issue about respecting kind of indigenous cultures and not monetizing that for commercial use where it's not, you know, here's $10,000 for an ayahuasca retreat in Peru where this has been a ceremonial plant
Totally.
You know, a lot of people feel like this is belongs to nature and not to capitalism. Right. So it's a lot of issues and all of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
What advice would you offer the individuals who are considering ketamine therapy as an option or those mm-hmm. who are curious about the potential benefits and risks?
Yeah. Well, I think just generally, I think it's something where, you know, you have to be really clear on the motivation that you're bringing to participate in any sort of treatment, I would say, but specifically one that has a cost associated with it, has a growing scientific base. So I think I would caution people to not look at it as a quick fix. I think there have been a lot of people who have experienced immediate changes, and that might not be your personal experience. Mm-hmm. I think that you need to be really clear about what's bringing you to that and some of the risks and possibilities of things unanticipated. I think that there are certain medical contraindications, and we can get into that too.
Gotcha.
I wanted to touch on, you know, who would be a good candidate and who might not be.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm kind of talking about too, and kind of who should, who shouldn't, right? Mm-hmm. One of the good things about working with a clinic for assisted therapy is that you're going to have the benefit of professionals being on your team. And one of those professionals is a medical doctor who will evaluate you for any medical risks with taking ketamine. Some of those risks would include hypertension, issues of blood pressure, history of a stroke, thought disorders. So if you're experiencing kind of hallucinations or, you know, other kind of visual perceptual issues, not being in touch with reality, that kind of thing. Those would be, we definitely want to be addressing that. We don't want to make any of those conditions worse.
Sure.
By ketamine. Certainly if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, if you, intense migraines, this can really be affecting the circuitry of your brain. So we want to make sure that it's helping you and not harming you. So it's important to have the eyes of a medical doctor on you prior to the medicine session. There's also certain psychological factors that we wouldn't recommend ketamine for. People who are kind of actively suicidal, people who are actively abusing substances, people who don't have a clear motivation, you know, people who saying, my mom and dad called the clinic and they want me to come do this because they're fed up.
Wow.
Okay. Yes. We're going to start you with something else first. Okay.
Right.
Kind of flipping on the other end of the spectrum, what would you be able to share with us while still keeping confidentiality for the patients? But as far as a success story that, you know, or stories or something that you could share.
Sure. So, I just went through a long list of reasons that you might not be a good candidate. I think of people that would be a good candidate, and I can share kind of some stories about those, but people who have tried a lot of things, people who have kind of stubborn symptoms of low-level depression, mild to moderate depression, who have tried kind of cognitive behavioral therapy, other types of therapies, antidepressants, and it just hasn't really moved the needle for them.
So essentially like people who are treatment
resistant. That's right.
And I'm just curious. So let's say you're, you know, with your doctor talking about this didn't work and this isn't working, you know, where does ketamine assisted therapy fall? Like, is everyone, doctors offering it as a possible suggestion, or is it kind of like so new? Mm-hmm. But obviously people, you know, for example, Angie, who was on earlier, it was essentially, I think, like the last resort or before hospitalization.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I think my general sense is that it depends on your provider.
Okay.
And I think that people are either unaware or kind of wary or unfamiliar, not necessarily connected with a particular clinic. And so they might be more comfortable with just prescribing frontline SSRIs or antidepressants or cognitive behavioral therapy. And, you know, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of great things about CBT is what we call it. But I think sometimes that just becomes a label that gets slapped on a referral and doesn't really follow up with the standard of therapy that's provided and what we're really using it for. So I think if people are interested in that, the best way forward is to do their own research, to bring that to their physicians, to kind of advocate for themselves and for their physicians to learn more about it in their professional networks, and then they can make that referral.
Gotcha. And yeah, I think I cut you off, Cameron. You were asking about
success
stories. But yeah, is there any, you know, have you worked with many people that it's truly helping them? And can you talk a little bit about that? And
sure. We all hope so, right?
Yeah. And maybe if we want to put up to just a website, askp.org, that's the American Society for Ketamine Practitioners. And these are medical professionals who are advocating for the use of ketamine and have a lot of scientific basis for that too. But people can check that out and, you know, maybe bring that to their doctor's appointment if they feel like it's a good fit for them. In terms of success stories, I think certainly I have recommended this for clients in my individual therapy practice who have struggled to make real significant change in their relationship to their self, you know, how you really think about yourself, your core beliefs about who you are and kind of the worth and value that you have. Often these are people who have experienced trauma. And so I know that ketamine has been the greatest scientific basis is for treatment-resistant depression. But often that is a byproduct of trauma history as well. And other psychedelics really do a great job of addressing that specifically. But I have, I was part of my training for ketamine. I was present to a ketamine session of a client who had, she was in her mid 50s. She had a significant childhood history of abuse by family members and her foster family. And so had really grown up and been a survivor of this and developed a lot of resilience and skill in navigating that. And still struggled to feel a positive relationship to herself, struggled to experience positive emotions, struggled to have lasting and meaningful relationships, despite a real desire to have those. And so was willing to be open to trying ketamine. She did the first medicine session. I was present for that. And her transformation came really through a visual means. And so she was able to speak to standing over this pit. And through our integration sessions, we kind of determined that this pit is kind of this hole left by trauma, right? Mm-hmm. This kind of barrier to a positive relationship to yourself. As she's staring over it, she has this overwhelming kind of sensation of it taking her over.
Wow.
And instead feels kind of the wrapping of wings around her, which is bringing her back from the edge of that pit. And I'm kind of feeling chills as I'm talking about that. But she was able to take from that, that, you know, this sense of well-being, this feathers and wings around me is always available to me. And so now when I feel myself on the edge of that pit, whether it's being triggered by a certain situation or feelings of depression or conflict in relationship, I can recall that and remember that there is something kind of innate in me that I can draw upon and not step over into that pit.
Totally. You know, one of the things I thought was very compelling too about the most recent topic that we were just bringing up was how that coincides with your own personal story and journey. Even when you see a lot of folks in the psychedelic space, especially space holders or other practitioners who have not actually tried their own medicines.
Yeah.
I feel like a personal story of how you may have even had some personal experience with ketamine, not just as a person who actually prescribes it for others, but actually as how it's actually played a factor in your own life.
Sure. Yeah. As part of my training to become a ketamine assisted therapist, I did a medicine session myself. And this was part of a group of three other therapists, and I were in the group room, which is also an option too. I should mention it's an option for people to do an individual session or a group session.
And wouldn't it be more cost effective?
It's definitely more cost effective. And so that gets to that accessibility piece as well. But I did my medicine session in a group setting, and it was part of the training process. It was an option to do. I could still have done the training without doing the medicine session, but it felt important to me to speak to that credibility piece you're speaking about, Cameron, of if I'm recommending this to someone, to a client of mine, there can be some anxiety about that. It's kind of a vulnerability test, right?
Yeah.
And I think it lends more credibility to my recommendation if I'm someone who has personal experience with it. So I kind of went into it more of a self-expansion. I don't feel like I have treatment-resistant depression, certainly low times in my life, but I wasn't really seeking it in terms of kind of addressing a specific mental health issue. But certainly we all kind of have our own struggles and our own dark pits that we can fall into, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was open to that. And then also kind of a professional curiosity as well.
Totally.
So I felt very confident about that. I knew personally and professionally the practitioners that were going to help me through that process. And as I'm driving there, I start to have kind of symptoms of panic. And so this is one of the things that we can work through in prep sessions as well, is kind of expecting that even if it's something you're open to and even excited for, some of that uncertainty can be stirred up.
True.
Yeah. So I luckily have developed some tools over the years and kind of managing that, but it was definitely notable that even, you know, for me coming at it from more of a professional lens, that certainly was present for me driving there that day. Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. And then the actual session, I don't know if you are interested in that too, but my own personal session had a lot of visual and perceptual changes, you know, kind of that classic psychedelic shapes and kind of a space disco situation.
Sacred geometry.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so a lot of that, and then a lot of kind of meaningful interactions with symbolism and things like that from my past. And it was powerful, I would say. Yeah. And something I still think about.
Wow. And you know, it's so funny, Jackie and I, we go to the same gym. So
yeah.
We were actually just kicking it this morning. At
That's right. Six, sweating it out. 6:30.
6:30 a.m.
Yeah. Check you guys.
Yeah.
I think it's just funny because you know, I didn't really know you at all, and whether you saw me or not, but I, you know, you've kind of seen my journey as far as psychedelics and, you know, psilocybin for me is what I'm so passionate about. But it's just hilarious because I didn't know you. And then the gym owner, Dori Johnson of Noco Strength, we can talk more about that. Mm-hmm. But she told me, did you know Jackie? She does ketamine-assisted therapy. And I was like freaking out. So then I started bugging her pretty much every class. You actually made me go to class more.
Good. Because I'm
wanted
happy.
To talk to you.
Sure.
But I'm just like, yeah. So it's funny because I, you know, that I think when I first talked to you, that was right, you know, not too long ago, obviously.
Yeah.
But and
beginning
then
beginning of your journey, yeah.
Yeah. And just kind of kept bugging you. And then I'm like, podcast, and now you're here today.
Yeah.
And it's just wonderful. And I, you know, Cameron touched on it earlier, but I just feel like through psychedelics or this connected feeling, you know, and so many things are, or for me, have just been, you know, put in my pathway with me really not doing too much. And I just, I love it. And I love to be talking about it with you guys. And I want to be cognizant of time. I know you've got to take off here, and Cameron and I can probably have some other things to discuss.
Yeah. Is there anything that we didn't get to here? You can cut this too if you want, but just success stories. And
the only thing I'm thinking of is I have that image of a brain scan. Gabe, do you see anything?
I had a question. Just how does ketamine therapy fit into the broader landscape of psychedelic assisted therapy and the evolving field of mental health treatment?
I think that right now the only legalized psychedelic assisted therapy modality is ketamine in Minnesota. And so I think a lot of practitioners feel like ketamine is a good fit for many people. I also feel like there's a lot of excitement around psilocybin and MDMA, specifically for PTSD. I personally and professionally believe that trauma is at a root of a lot of our society ills. And so for me, that feels a lot of excitement around some of those other treatments who are a little bit slower to come down the legalized pipeline.
Totally.
And so ketamine, I think, is a great way to provide accessible treatment right now for treatment-resistant depression. I think it provides kind of a training ground for therapists who are wanting to work in that space. I think also it kind of sets up a similar structure to how we're going to push forward psychedelic-assisted therapy in general. You know, all of the kind of studies right now in the clinical trials with psilocybin and MDMA follow that similar structure to ketamine assisted therapy, where you're doing kind of the evaluation, the prep session, the medicine session, and integration. So it's a good way to kind of lay the groundwork for some of these other modalities that are sure to come down.
That's so exciting. Yeah. And again, I always like to reiterate how I find, you know, being here in Minneapolis, where we know Mayor Fry essentially made psychedelics, whatever.
Decriminalized, yeah.
Essentially. Sure. Yeah. I think we have to say that they're the lowest priority.
Yes.
But so how do you feel about all that? Like, is that exciting to be here in the Minneapolis area? And I...
Yeah, it is. It's really exciting. There's a really a great group of and a community that people are excited about this. They feel a personal connection to it. They also have the political will and the organizing potential to really make this into kind of the political arena and make real changes for people's lives. I think it's great. And I think as a mental health practitioner, it's exciting to be on the frontier of something that really could transform a lot of people's lives.
And I'm so excited that you are a mental health practitioner, because I want you to talk to people like my parents. And, you know, I'm so happy that you're saying all of this out loud. And it's... just for people that aren't aware at all about ketamine therapy. And then B, just again, getting back to the point of just normalizing and continuing the conversation. And
totally.
Well, I wanted to pull up that brain scan, Gabe, real quick. It's not, is there anything that you can talk about it? Because I think it's just fascinating, or people want to see, you know, how our brains are changing.
Sure. So this is fMRI images, which is a tool in the last 20 years or so that has really furthered the field of neuroscience and allows us to see real-time changes in the brain structures, which is helpful in getting people to change their hearts and minds about the openness to psychedelics and treating mental health. I think what you're seeing here is different regions of the brain that are activated with emotion and fear. Typically, the amygdala is a part of a brain, which is, and the hippocampus as well, which kind of regulates our memory, and other functions of the brain. But those two regions really are activated with a fear response. And in PTSD, all of a sudden, a lot of times you'll see activation where, you know, that is maybe outsized to the what's happening. Wow. So it's a triggering from a previous trauma response, right? Yeah. So you can actually see the brain responding in a traumatic way.
Okay.
Right? So ketamine and other psychedelics can affect those brain regions so that you don't see as much activation after the use of that or a course of therapy. I see. You see a more kind of correlated response. So for example, you had a terrible car accident. Mm-hmm. And now you drive in the car and someone taps on the brakes in front of you. And instead of just slowing your own, your fear response kind of goes into overdrive. And you would see a lot of activation in your brain that might not be really correlated with what's happening in front of you. After a certain round of psychedelic treatment for that car accident, for that trauma, they might test you again, put you through a simulator. Someone taps the brakes and you may have a little spike. But it's not kind of that big light up version that was pre-treatment.
Now, are you able to speak to what the color on the scan, like so the orange, what that means for people that don't know?
Yeah, so this is not a slide I'm necessarily familiar with, but typically what you see is the orange would be activation of the brain regions.
Gotcha. Okay?
So when you see the less amount, right. So this is so this says with people with major depressive disorder. So these are the brains of people who suffer from treatment resistant depression.
Mm-hmm.
The administration, this is actually looks like it's during administration of ketamine. Right. So this maybe starts with. I don't want to say what this is without seeing the study, but typically you would see activation of the orange means activation in your brain, right?
Okay.
So with this, either we're looking for less activation when it's a fear response region, that would be a benefit.
Gotcha.
In depression, sometimes there's not enough activation. So you think about kind of like low motivation, low response time, apathy, mm-hmm. you would want to see more activation. So depending on what you're measuring here, which I don't know.
Yeah, I think the slide is confusing because I just found it because I thought it looked cool.
It is cool. Okay. But what I can say is it's functional MRI, which can measure activation in the brain.
Okay.
In a visual way.
Well, it's exciting to hear that, you know, there's visible changes.
Yes, changes in the brain structure. That's what you want to take away from this.
I think that is a perfect lead into what the role of integration after a ketamine therapy session and how do you help patients make sense and apply these experiences to their daily lives?
Yeah, and that's the real power of psychedelic-assisted therapy is that you have you're working with someone to take the meaning that you made of your psychedelic journey, and you put it into real practical terms and mm-hmm. behavior change. Therapists are obsessed with behavior change, and that's how we know we create kind of sustainable improvement in mood and mental health. And so the integration sessions really take your transformative journey and they turn it into specific action steps and behavior changes that you can bring into your daily life. And so that might be working with your therapist to say, those wings that wrapped around me, how can I keep that close to mind so that when I encounter that in my everyday, instead of avoiding or turning to other substances to numb, I actually can stop, be aware of that trigger, and call to mind that sensation I experienced during the ketamine journey and bring it to myself in real time. And that will lead me to stay engaged, create more healthy relationships, respond in a different way, which will then kind of create the long-lasting change that you're looking for.
Gotcha. And I see our producer is talking about maybe bringing up some notes around the price points in regards to the therapy and how they can actually get in touch with you.
Sure. So people can check out my website at mindfulconnectionsmn.com. They'll be up on the show page, I think, too. They can also check out IIT of Minnesota. That's the Institute of Integrative Therapies. They offer, that's where actually the on-site ketamine administration would be. I also kind of bring these ideas into my individual practice as well, if you're interested in individual therapy in St. Paul. And if you're looking to kind of bring some of these ideas to your business or organization, you can check me out at hswellnessconsultants.com. And in terms of pricing, insurance, as you mentioned, we're kind of working on that. I know it's a real consideration for people. Mm-hmm. Most insurance plans would cover kind of the a portion of the medical evaluation and the therapy prep and integration sessions. The ketamine session itself is typically not covered by insurance, and that is typically in the several hundred dollar range, up to maybe $1,000. You can have more cost effective ways by doing a group session, but I encourage you to reach out and we can talk more specifics.
Sounds good.
Well, Jackie, thank you so much for coming on here and spreading your knowledge. And what are you up to? You got to run out. You got
to
piss
your job. I got things to do before I pick up those kids and a couple more work things related today. But I do appreciate you having me on the podcast. I think it's great. I love the enthusiasm. And I just really feel all your hearts are in the right places and bringing the community of people together around this issue.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, totally.
Yes. And just real quick, if you need more information around Minds on Mushrooms, you would head to mindsonmushrooms.com, which I'm sure will be showing up with everything else. Cameron, did you have anything else before we...
You know, stay tuned for, some Woosai chocolates and some other Big Psych gourmet chocolates. I mean, there's going to be things kind of coming down the pipeline, but
Need a whole epi on chocolates.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
MBC. No relation to NBC.